Welcome and thank you for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast. If you would like more information about Church by the Glades, including service times and directions, visit cbglades.com. We hope you enjoy today's message.
A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home.
They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them.
Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them.
Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on.
When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven."
Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that?
He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?"
Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things?
Which is easier, to say this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk?'
But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins."
So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all.
This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Mark 2:1-12.
What's up, Church by the Glades? Oh, thank you so much for logging on today. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors here at CBG. I got about a dozen or so rowdy people in a room that holds 2,000. And what a passage. What a great passage our team just read. I love that story. I love a great Jesus story. I love a story when Jesus invades someone's reality and changes everything for the better. Jesus touched that man, healed that man, changed him spiritually and physically. I want to get right into that. But first, a couple of things. A little Church by the Glades housekeeping. When I'm around town, in the limited moments I'm around town, people will see me. They recognize me, even my mask on. I think it's my voice. And they'll say, "Hi, PD," and "How's the family?" And the next question is always this: when are we going to open the buildings at Church by the Glades? Have you guys got that? I don't know if they're just being polite or actually going to show up when we do it, but they ask that question quite a bit. And simply here's where we are, a little update for the church family. I know some of you guys are just logging on, watching online. Thank you for doing that. But as far as when we're going to open our physical campuses, we have five campuses all in South Florida. And I'll give you where the thought process has been. Prayerfully and carefully, we thought about this. What campus do we open first? We open them all at the same time. We have campuses in three different counties. We have different service schedules at each campus. And the thought was here at Sawgrass, this is the largest campus, the first campus, made sense maybe Sawgrass would go first. And but even here, six services. So do we start with all six? Probably too much. One, two, three. We have them on Saturday night, Sunday morning, of course, Sunday afternoon. And we came up with the idea is, this is live right now. There are people responding to you on the chat right now, hosts, in real time. The pre-show is all real time. But portions of the service we pre-record. So we had the idea, why not invite people to the Thursday night recording session? And the worship would be live. And, of course, the message would be live. And we thought it might be kind of fun. That way whoever wanted to come could come. And we have lots of seats here. We would practice safety protocols, of course. But still lots of room here for people to come on that Thursday night and be part of the worship experience live. And then the message. And by the way, we'd keep it the way it is. We'd keep the capture as a high value because so many folks are watching online. So if you came, it'd be like one part congregation, one part live studio audience. And we planned on doing that in one of the Thursdays coming up, but here in Broward County, this campus is in Broward County, Florida, we've had a spike in COVID-19, more people testing positive, hospital beds disappearing, so we're going to push back a little bit in our minds. All that to say this, so probably the plan will be Thursday night first. Which one? Pay attention. Best way to find out probably is to follow me or the church on Instagram or Facebook. And there won't be a lot of heads up. I'm not going to give you a month's notice. It might be 3 days notice. So thank you for staying connected. So prayerfully, carefully, and please pray that God gives us wisdom. So many unknowns right now. So we're looking forward to reopening at the right time at our physical campuses. Pray for that and pay attention. Instagram and Facebook, right? Connect and share. Connect and share. Stay with it. All right. This passage is going to be fun. If you're new to us, thank you for logging on. Thanks for your patience as we take care of some family business. The series is called 2020 2.0. We launched it like a month and a half ago thinking, wow, if any year needed a reboot, it's this one. This year has been so crazy. So we thought, how about a do-over for 2022.0? But since we did that a month and a half ago, it's gotten weirder, hasn't it? It's gotten... So can we do 2023.0? Is that even a thing? Can we do... can you reboot? Reboot? I'm not sure that's even possible. But anyway, so let's get to the text. With so much going on right now with people getting sick and hospitalizations and social unrest. I mean, what do we talk about? Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. My favorite topic. He's my hero. He's the centerpiece of this narrative in Mark chapter 2. We're going to study together. Find your Bible. And by the way, while you're finding your Bible, let me welcome our Amen Corner. What's up, Amen Corner? Great to see you guys. You're all looking so good. I love it. Look at Rob right there. Daryl Lynn, good to see you guys. I see Marie. Oscar, are you good? Sheila, good to see you. Oh, wonderful job. They are all over the world. I see Lori. And Lori, where's Lori? Lori? Oh, right there. And Josh, Arizona. I saw Marguerite from Ohio. How are things? No, not even cold anymore. Oh, gosh. Thank you. Where's Brandy? Brandy is with us from Nashville, Tennessee. So people watching right now all over the country, all over the world. People last week in the chat, gosh, I saw people from Peru, Brazil. I think we had Japan, Spain. Thank you for watching. Connect and share. Let's jump into this great story about these friends who do the thing that Jesus wants us to do. So I want to talk to you about Jesus and this thing that Jesus calls all of us to do. He requires us as Jesus followers to do this one thing. It's not a suggestion. It's not if we have time. What is it? Well, he says the same thing in many different places. In Matthew chapter 4, he says it this way. Let's go fish for men. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, go and be my witnesses. Another place he says, go look for the one lost sheep. He's not talking about barnyard animals, by the way. He means one person who's spiritually lost. Leave the 99 to find the one. But the most famous time, he says, is probably the famous last two verses in Matthew's gospel. It's called the Great Commission. It's on the big screen right now. The speaker here is the king. The chronology of this passage is vital. This is after the crucifixion. This is after his glorious resurrection, after he's shown himself to be very much alive to over 500 eyewitnesses. Jesus, before he ascends to the Father, before he goes back to heaven, promising someday he'll return, says, hey, my disciples, do this. Right. Busy yourself with this vital activity until I return. Here's what Jesus said. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe or obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Except during a global pandemic, social unrest, economic uncertainty, political polarization, or during social distancing. Anybody? Anybody in your Amplified translation even? Do anybody in some modern embellished paraphrase have anything remotely like that? No. Isn't it funny? There's no disclaimer on the Great Commission. The Great Commission has no exception clause. It's not, hey, go do this stuff. Go make disciples and be witnesses and rescue lost sheep, except when there's a bunch of issues out there. Because I think Jesus assumed there'd always be issues. And we have a lot of issues right now. I get it. It's a very unusual season globally. But guess what? The Great Commission always applies. It's always relevant for all of us. So though we have issues and struggles and challenge and trouble, shucks, Jesus promised that. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. Make disciples anyways. Make disciples anyways. And in this story, we have an example of these people, these individuals. They get their friend to Jesus. They overcome incredible hardship, all kinds of difficulty, all kinds of chaos to get their friends to Jesus. A wonderful example because we're all. When I say three, shout the word all. One, two, three, we are
all
called to do this. Every single follower of Jesus Christ, rescued people, rescue people. So anyways, great story. I want to jump right into it. It was read beautifully just a moment ago by our team. This story, by the way, is so vital. It shows up in three places in your Bible. So if something shows up in the Bible once, it's biblical, it's very important, shows up twice. Wow, it's vital, but three times, press in. And for the note takers, it shows up the same story in Matthew chapter 9. Now, Matthew chapter 9 is a briefer version. It's kind of like the spark notes on the story. Luke chapter 5, you get a lot of detail. And also here in Mark chapter 2, let's start reading together. Verse 1, Mark chapter 2. I'll highlight a few words. Ready? When
Jesus.
Thank you. We got a Jesus story. When Jesus entered Capernaum again after some days, it was reported that he was home. Now just stop. Was Jesus home, Capernaum? He's born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, but the base of his ministry, especially the first couple years, was this Galilean city called Capernaum. Continues verse 2, get ready. So many people gathered together that there was no room, not even in the doorway. And he was speaking the word to them. I got to break this down for a moment, right? So what's going on? A couple things. Same formula we see time and time again in the Bible. We see the centerpiece of this event is Jesus. The central personality is Jesus. If you're doing your research on Jesus, brilliant. So smart. He's the centerpiece of history. I don't mean just spiritual history, sociology. No one has impacted the world in a bigger way than a 33-year-old Jewish rabbi. So if you're doing your homework, well done. So anyways, the center of the story is Jesus. And Jesus is doing what? He's teaching the word. So the story is about what?
Jesus.
They've heard that before. Jesus and his word. Jesus and his word. If you're new to Church by the Glades, I say that a lot, that the things we esteem and value the most, Jesus and his word. In fact, when you come to a physical campus, you're going to see the production values are amazing. The hospitality is sensational. Our kids' ministry will blow you away. Our ministry to students, young adults, senior adults, all of our campuses, everything. You're thinking, what do they value the most? Is it dynamic worship? Is it hospitality? We're very creative. Is it production? We value all those things. But the two things we esteem the most, Jesus and his word. Jesus and his word. We're a radically Christ-centric Bible teaching church. And the reason why is it's not just a biblical thing, it's a practical thing to do. Because when I see this happening in the New Testament, when there's an event that centers on Jesus and his word, crowds. Crowds show up. Now, I know people feel funny about crowds right now. COVID-19, we're kind of phobic about crowded environments, but guess what? Crowds are biblical. You know, I even when there's not a pandemic, I know some people like I say, David, I'm not sure about that church by the Glades because it's crowded. It's a big church. I prefer a small church. Nothing wrong with a small church, but crowds are biblical. Multitudes showed up to hear Jesus speak. People are crowding in. There are people in the doorway. They're hanging in the windows. People are pressed against each other. No social distancing in this story. Crowds are biblical. So if you're a Christian person, you need to like crowds. Crowds are biblical. If you don't like crowds, you will hate heaven because there'll be multitudes in heaven. And so now I get it. Crowds are impractical. Crowds can be chaotic and problematic. I mean, in this story, all kinds of people there, all kinds of camels parked in the parking lot, Galilean PD on the traffic signals, large lines at the Copernicus campus of kids stuff. I get it. But crowds are a good thing, a beautiful thing. So listen, when we open up again, my guess is we won't have crowds, not crazy crowds. Might be the first time in 10 years, no parking issues at the Sawgrass campus. But I hope that doesn't last for long. And in some month in the future, when things are back to normal, whatever that looks like, and there's a crowd at Church by the Glades at your campus, and you're stuck in traffic for just a couple minutes, would you stop and offer God a prayer of praise, saying, thank you that people are crowding in this very broken and messy world, so much pain, so much discord. People are crowding because it's about Jesus and his word. Isn't this passage good? It's so good. I'm just in verse 2. This passage is so rich. So verse 3, let's get to verse 3. Now, verse 3, we got these friends who want to get their buddy to Jesus. They're doing the thing that Jesus says to do time and time again. So these guys want to get their friend to Jesus, and they come late to church. Some of y'all come late to church all the time. Can I vent right now? Some of you who come to church, by the way, you show up so late all the time. Even here at this campus, we have a 1 o'clock in the afternoon service. I can't believe people come rolling in at like 1:45 with their coffee from the lobby. You still stop to get your coffee, running late, try to be on time for church, but come anyway. So look, they come anyways, and because they're late, there is a crowd. The crowd creates chaos, and they can't get their friend to Jesus. Look what they do, verse 3 and verse 4. This is so good. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by So four are doing the carrying, probably just four in total, but there are four of these men. Verse 4 says, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, look, it's so innovative here. They made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Then what happened? Well, he's going to be healed spiritually and physically. Where does that happen? I'm going to show you next week. When you log on next week, this story is so good. It'd be a terrible disservice to try to rush through it all. It is so rich, but you're going to see this incredibly holistic miracle because this man's needs were not just the presenting needs, the physical needs, his impairment, spiritual needs. Profound spiritual needs. But these friends get their buddy to these four amazing friends. So guess what? Next week will be the last week of 2020 2.0. We'll wrap up the series. Then after next week, what do we do? Start a new series. So the new series we're going to call Business as Unusual. Because I'm not sure about your world, but my world, everything is weird. Everything is unusual. As we're emerging from quarantine, kind of going back to work, some of us are. It's just weird. So, you know, the old norm is gone. People are talking about the new normal. So business as because Christian people should be flexible. We should adapt quickly. And the Bible gives us techniques on examples. So business as unusual starts in 2 weeks, but don't miss the final climactic week of 2020 2.0, the rest of this great story of this healing of the paralyzed man and his four remarkable friends. I love this great story. Now, a question. As you're listening to the readers, all this detail given by Luke and Matthew and here in Mark, did you catch the names of the four friends? Didn't catch the names? I thought the names were there. I thought the names, right? That was Bob and Willie and Joaquin and Biff. No names? Luke's gospel names? Matthew names? No names. Four anonymous friends. All right, I've had a little fun with this passage this week. How about we make up their names? How about we make up their names, right? Let's make up their names. Based on their behavior, based on their evident activity, based on their demonstration of faith, because they're so catalytic in this wonderful miracle, let's make up the names of the four friends. I'll give you one today, and I'll give you three when you log on next week, all right? So best parts next week. Come to the sequel next week. All right, so friend number one, let's just call friend number one Mr. Love. Mr. Love. Mr. Love. Is that cheesy? That's kind of cheesy, but I mean this. What do you see in this person's response? You see clearly his profound love for his friend. His friend's condition breaks his heart. So Mr. Love loves his friend. Now, we don't have all the backstory of this relationship, but it does say that Jesus, seeing his need, forgave his sins. So based on that math, you know, you're born with a sin nature, a little theology right here, but you're not born guilty for sin. So this man made some kind of mistake in life that resulted into this holistic brokenness. So it meant maybe Mr. Love knew his friend before he was impaired. Stay with me. Maybe he knew him when he was healthy, before his legs were emaciated, before his muscles deteriorated. Maybe he knew him back when he could walk and run and play. And then you saw this brokenness occur, and the brokenness in his friend hurt his heart. And my guess is this is not the first time Mr. Love and his companions had carried this guy somewhere. Probably carried him every single day in the morning to some busy street corner in Capernaum where he could beg. There's no social welfare system. There's no government disability. He lived off of the generosity of other people, and there wasn't a lot of generosity back in that day. And his condition, spiritually and physically, broke the heart of his friend, Mr. Love. He had compassion for the sick. Didn't judge him, by the way. Didn't condemn him. Didn't say, this is the consequence of your own bad choices. Just loved him the way he was, even in his brokenness. Love, love. So I see in this story a huge degree of compassion and love. Compassion and love. So they pushed through the chaos and the brokenness and the mess. Why? Love, love. So here's a question. How can you gauge how much you love someone or something? How much can you measure how much you love something? Here's an example. How much chaos or how much pushback or how much risk will you experience because you love something? Wow. Did I lose you? Are you confused? All right. Some said, wow, but they work for me. All right. Stay with me. Stay with me right here. All right. Let's a little exercise together. Quarantine. All right. So we're kind of emerging out of quarantine here in South Florida yet. There's a little bit of back and forth. People are still concerned. When the quarantine was on full blown, how good of quarantiner, no, it's not a word, but pretend like it's quarantiner were you? Mean this, how careful were you when it came to quarantine? Rate yourself right now. In fact, if you're just wonderfully transparent, you can do it right there in the chat, between 1 to 10. A 10 is someone you were almost perfect with the quarantine. You did not leave your house at all. You worked from home. You did school from home. Got all your food by way of delivery dudes. And you still like sprayed all with Lysol. I mean, you were a super careful quarantiner. Were you a 10? On the other side of the spectrum is a 1. A 1 would be you were a terrible quarantiner. You didn't change your routine. You went out. You did the stuff you wanted to do. You pretended like it wasn't real. Oh my gosh, you've not washed your hands since February. You're still getting COVID-19, right? You're a terrible, you're a one, right? So one is really terrible, and a 10 is you are hyper, hyper diligent and careful. So what number would you give yourself?
Five.
Lisa and I were talking. We'd probably, you know, being honest, we thought we're probably, what, about 4.5? 4.5. Is that generous? 3, 4, 4. Solid 4. So we were not very good. Now listen, we kept some protocols. We stayed at home the vast majority of the time. When did we leave home? Well, it was something that we really, really wanted to do. Right. Anybody else? Right? I mean, I'll be honest. I'll be transparent. The gym. I was so happy when my gym reopened. I was so happy when the gym reopened. I love going consistently to the gym. Lisa is a gym rat. My son Charlie, man, is getting muscles. He works out really hard. We love. So the moment our gym opened, it was so awesome. We went to the gym. Now, my gym has good safety protocols. They take your temperature as you walk in. You got to wear a mask or face covering as you walk in. They've doubled the cleaning staff, man. They're cleaning, sanitizing everything. Almost every member wipes down equipment before and after they train. I mean, the safety protocols are great. And some of you are going like, are you crazy? It's a gym. You got people grunting and sweating and working out hard, so they're breathing really hard. Oh my God, gym. I don't care how much Lysol they use. You're working out in a Petri dish. Are you kidding me? A gym. Why, David, would you go to the gym? That's so risky. Why would you go to the gym? I love it. I love it. I love to work out. I'm passionate for it. Kind of clears my head, keeps me healthy. Normally, maybe not this time. But anyway, so I love it. I love it. So because I love it, the gym, I put myself at risk. Another example, I'll be honest. You may have heard that I enjoy occasionally going fishing. I like to fish, you know, fishing is something I do, you know, with some diligence, some proficiency. I love to fish. I love fishing. It's awesome. You know, sadly, the quarantine kind of coincided with the tarpon season in South Florida, same time of year. And oh, there's some random fishing pictures behind me. Where did those even go? Oh, it's my wife right there. That's the sexiest picture of my wife ever, the giant tarpon, her first tarpon. I love fishing. Fishing is kind of my thing. And so I spent some time, even during quarantine, on a boat fishing. And somebody's like, oh my gosh, on a boat? Were you at least by yourself? Hardly ever. Hardly ever by myself. Almost always had a fishing buddy or a fishing guide. Now, guess what? Not as risky as it sounds, because they're small boats. I fish on a flats boat. Well, the fishing guide stands way at the back, way at the back. Give me the picture of Captain Rob, if you would. Look, he's way back there in the back of the boat. By the way, he could balance the push pole on his head. That's pretty impressive. He's way back there. And then I'm on the front of the boat, or the bow of the boat, right? So forget 6 feet. We were 17 and a half feet apart the whole time. And by the way, as far as a face mask, oh, for years, long before coronavirus, I wear something called a buff on my face to keep the sun and the wind off and damage. So I look like that when I fish. I look like a member of the Taliban every time I fish. So we took some precautions, but I went fishing without apology. Don't judge me. Stop saying those mean things in the chat. Yes, I went fishing. I know I put myself at risk. Why would I go fishing? I love it. I mean, I love it. I enjoy it so much. I'd be safer to stay home, but for certain things you love, you will put yourself at risk. Okay, Jesus told all of us, not just pastors, not just missionaries, not just full-time church staff, but all of us to be engaged in the activity of being witnesses, rescuing lost sheep, making disciples, translation, leveraging relationships and influence and networks to bring other people to Christ. At least invite them to church, right? We're all called to do that. But to do that, you risk something. Why should you do it? Love. 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 Because Jesus said to do it. Love. Love. Because we love Jesus, we love them. And guess what? We should do it because something else Jesus said. John 14:6 is a remarkable, famous verse. It kind of has two dimensions. One is very wide open and one is a little concerning. But Jesus said this, and I believe Jesus always spoke truth and love. Look what he said about himself. Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let me just stop right there and break that down. I love the first half of this verse. It is so wide open. Jesus says, I'm the way. Doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter if you're a saint or a sinner, if you made a bunch of mistakes or stole a cookie from the cookie jar one time, I'm the way. Doesn't matter your ethnicity, education. Doesn't matter your religious background. I'm open to you. I am the way. Come to me. I'm the way. I'm the bridge. I'm the path. I'm the way. Then he said, I'm the truth. I'm the truth. Jesus always speaks truth, and truth is always your friend. And by the way, we're called by Jesus to tell the truth. How? In love. Never judging someone else, hoping for people to disagree. But so the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I'm life. Not just life eternal, but life abundant. I am the secret of life. So the first part of this verse is amazing, and it's open for everybody. If you're watching right now, whether you're a theologian, it's the first time you've ever heard the name of Jesus. He says, I'm open for you. But look at where the verse lands. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. At the same time, when he said, I'm open to everybody, if you want to get to my heavenly Father, is through me. I'm the singular pathway. If that seems narrow to you, take it up with Jesus. He said, I'm open to anybody, no matter where you come from, what you've done, but I'm the way. Now, Christian, church, I ask you this. Did he mean it? Is he telling the truth? Because if he's telling the truth and we love our friends, and we love our coworkers, and we love our neighbors who don't know Jesus, we got to get them to Jesus. We got to, you know, dig through the walls and break down the seal. We got to get them to, we got to carry them, do what it can, push through the chaos, the resist, risk. And what do we risk? Right now, people are watching, perhaps in some country where you're not allowed to share Christ. Maybe you're a Christian person, but by law, you cannot evangelize or share your faith. Guess what? In America, and our campuses are in the U.S., we have freedom of religion. So what are you really risking with this? A little bit of rejection, being misunderstood, being labeled, perhaps, probably not even that. We got to get people to Jesus. We have to get people to Jesus. You will risk for what you love. I've given you stupid examples like fishing and working out. This is people. People who matter so much to God. Jesus died with that person on his mind. People matter to God. You will, what you love, you risk for. An example. So we're going to open up our campuses at some time in the future. But there is this environment. What have I told you? There's a certain environment. And when this environment opens up, oh yeah, it's going to be crowds. crowds, not hundreds, probably thousands of people going to show up. And I get it. You're like, yikes, crowds, infection, crowds, can't do it. But this environment, I'm telling you, this environment is so amazing. This environment is going to be so powerful. This environment is going to make you smile, I promise, when you walk in. This environment is going to engage you. This environment, you'll be inspired. You and your kids will have a blast in this environment. In this environment, they may deal with some topics that might make you uncomfortable, like money. They're going to talk about money in this environment, and you won't even care. This environment is going to be so powerful that there's going to be thousands of people there. This environment will blow your mind. Now, you think I'm talking about church. I'm talking about Disney World. You thought I was talking about Church by the Glades. Church by the Glades is an amazing environment, but this weekend, Disney World in Orlando is opening to the public. Are you aware of that? So right now, as you're watching this, there are thousands upon thousands of people at Disney World. And guess what? Thousands upon thousands of people wanted to come. And I know they have limitations on attendance and they have all kinds of safety protocols, but there's still gonna be thousands of people during a pandemic at Disney World. Blows my mind. In fact, they had a limit who could come. I talked to a friend of mine who's one of our Disney aficionados at church. He loves Disney. I said, what were the criteria? He said, well, guess what? Even to get a reservation, you had to be an existing pass holder. Then you had to request a reservation. Then they made a hotel reservation on property because that upped your percentage of getting the reservation for the park. And if you happen to get the reservation for the park, by the way, the first reservations for Thursday, a preview went out early on a Thursday morning at 5 a.m. Notification, they were all gone in 10 minutes. If you happen to get a reservation, the park hours are limited. There's no fireworks. There's no parades. There's no character greeting. And you can't even get a reservation. Yep. They're all gone. Yep. And the people have to get their temperatures taken and wear a mask. It's going to be 102 degrees and 135% humidity. And thousands of people still are going to Disney. They're still going to that environment. Why? They love it. They are going to Disney because they love a mouse. They're not sure to laugh or cry or clap. I'm just being real. I love Disney, not knocking Disney. Now, you might think this illustration is going to land like this. So someday when our church opens in a few weeks, if you love the church, you will come in and be part of the crowd. And be no judgment. Some of you guys, the moment we open, will be here. I know it. That's what you want to do. If God lays that in your heart, we'll have all kinds of safety precautions, and you can come on that Thursday night in the future. You can come. But others who love our church just as much, you're not comfortable coming right now. You want to continue to do church online, which is absolutely valid. You're going to stay connected. Like my mom is 89 years old. She does not need to come to a physical campus. So this is done. Right? So guess what? You're going to worship and be engaged. When I say that too, it means you're not just watching church online while you make your coffee, as you do your laundry, and while you cut your grass in the pool, right? Some of you guys know, okay, no, focus on church. Make this your worship time. I don't mean that, but I mean this. This whole talk is about there are people without Jesus who are not on their way to heaven, and you say you love them. Do you love them? Let's get them to Jesus. How? Easy. So easy. So easy. Connect and share. Connect and share. I know we said like 4 squillion times, connect and share. We're singing songs, connect and share, connect and share. Connect. Dave, I heard it like for like 16 weeks, connect and share. Are you doing it? Are you still doing it? Well, I did the first couple of weeks, but I know I got it. Are you doing it? The stakes have not changed. I get it. The more you hear something, the less you pay attention. Example, when's the last time you heard a car alarm go off? Like outside your window, I mean, back when you were at work or in your neighborhood, what's the last time you heard a car alarm go off and you grabbed your phone and called 911? Without even looking, like 911, oh my gosh, there's a car alarm going off. Hello, hello, officer, there's a car, anybody? You can put in the chat if you've done that recently, right? Now I'm old enough, I remember when car alarms first came out and at first we're all like, oh my gosh, there's a car alarm. Someone's car is being jacked right now or robbed right now. And you went outside, it was always a false alarm, right? And it's just kind of noise for us now. And we don't pay any attention to car alarms. Car alarms go out, you get annoyed. You never call 911, you get annoyed. We've said connect and share so much, you might think it's a car alarm. It's a spiritual alarm. The Bible says there's two places to spend forever, heaven or hell. And God's desire is for you to spend forever with him in heaven. Church, the alarm is going off. The enemy is trying to plunder souls. He's trying to jack people's eternity, and we are the friends. We got to be like Mr. Love and get the people we love and care for in their brokenness with their spiritual impairment to Jesus. We got to connect and share. And if you're someone without Christ, oh my goodness, can I help you become a disciple? Can I help you step across the line? I'm going to pray. And right after that prayer, we got a couple of our nice folks. Pastor Mike will be on the screen. He's going to show you how to respond, how to send a text message that can change you forever. Church by the Glades, we got a mission. We have a job to go and make disciples. No exception clauses whatsoever. I know there's things you can't do right now. Here in Florida, you can't hop on a plane and go to New York, right? You'll get quarantined, but you can still lead people to Jesus. I know in Dade County, you can't go to a restaurant right now. Big deal. You can still lead people to Jesus. I know you can't hug your grandmama right now. You miss your grandmama, but you can still lead people to Jesus. We are called by our King. It is not an option to go make disciples of all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, to teach them to observe everything Jesus said. And if we do that, he says, lo, I'll show up and be with you in a special way. I'll be with you always, even until the end of the age. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today. To hear more messages like this, make sure you subscribe and share with your friends. Don't forget to stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CBGlades @PastorDHughes.